The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined today by Ali Moreno, and Stuart Robson's favourite pundit is back.
Lots
to talk about, not only reflections on the Champions League, but let's start, shall we, with Robert Lewandowski and what he had to say about his future at Bayern Munich today. My story with Bayern is over. After everything that has happened in recent months, I cannot imagine further good cooperation. I believe that Bayern will not stop me leaving because it has the opportunity to. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we, Frank LaBerthe. Jules, I want to start with you first. Is that it? Will he never play for Bayern again?
Well, I don't think anyone knows the answer just now because, as we know and we've heard already, Oliver Kahn, for example, responding to what Lewandowski said in that press conference with Poland, saying, well, he's got a contract and we're not letting him go anywhere. So there will be a clash, of course. Pini Zahavi has already mentioned to Bayern Munich, who is Lewandowski's agent, that he was going to go and that they were going to find a club with offers to get him away from Bayern Munich. And Bayern are saying he's not going to go anywhere. He's got 1 year left on his contract. He will stay and then he can go next season, next summer on a free. So someone will win, someone will lose that clash. I think it's impossible right now to say who will, but I think it will be one of the sagas of the summer for sure.
What's the heart of the frustration from his side, Jules? Is it the fact they've let it get to a stage where he's just got 1 year left, where they were flirting with Haaland for so long and he just feels a bit neglected?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. First is the flirting with Haaland, you're right. The second thing is that he wanted a new three-year deal where he's 33, he's turned 34 at the start of next season. They were like, hang on a minute, as amazing as you've been for us, and he really, really has, this is not, you don't give a 34-year-old a three-year deal. Well, I mean, you can, but this is not what they wanted to do. And I don't think he took that well. I think as well that he's been eyeing up a move for a long time now. Remember, there's a few summers where Pini Zahavi was kind of offering him to a few clubs around. He was already making a bit of a noise. And maybe he feels after all those years at Bayern, this is the time now. Because again, at 34, he's obviously very close to the end and of his career. So he's thinking, if I want to move and if I want to play in another league and discover something different, it has to be now. I'm not sure in a year time, there would be maybe as many clubs that who would want him than there could be potentially this summer. So that's why as well he's thinking, you know what, this is the right time for me to move on.
Is it Barcelona or bust, Jules?
At the moment, they're the only one, really. There's other clubs like PSG, like Chelsea, who I think are just looking from afar what's going on and what's happening. But Barcelona are really the one who not have just register their interest, but also I've spoken to Xavi and Pini Zahavi, Laporta and Pini Zahavi, and even I believe the two clubs also have had talks over, okay, how much would you want in terms of money transfer fee for someone who has 1 year left on his contract and who is turning 34 at the start of the season. So they're clearly the one who are right now in the driving seat, if you want, in the leading race for him. The problem is, and we go back again to what we've said many times on the show, they don't have the money. They can't even register Sergio Roberto's new contract, let alone Lewandowski with a transfer fee and the much higher wages than Sergio Roberto. So if he stays like this, they won't even be able to sign him.
From the Bayern Munich perspective, Stevie, you look at it and you say, you knew the deal when you signed this contract. You put pen to paper on this. Mm-hmm. You have a 1 year left. You're obliged to honour it.
Well, like, the truth is, if that is how Oliver Kahn is speaking to Lewandowski, then he'll be getting out the door as fast as he can. You know, it's one thing to look at the facts, and the facts are that he signed a deal mm-hmm. that doesn't run out until 12 months' time. But that doesn't mean that as a board and as the man in charge of football decisions,
that you treat somebody and humiliate somebody, because that's what Lewandowski thinks has been going on. He's been humiliated, all the talk about Haaland, when this guy's scoring 46 and 50 goals a season, every season, and he's been made, well, as I said, he's, in his eyes, he's been humiliated. So, no, there are certain things that change, even though you do have 12 months on your contract. And Bayern Munich, well, it's coming back round to haunt them, the way that they've dealt with them.
On paper, Bayern Munich are doing the correct thing, right? Even when they're flirting with Haaland, they're saying, okay, this guy's 33, will be 34 by the end of the contract. There is no chance that we're going to renew him if we can get Haaland to walk through this door. So we're preparing for the future. It is what a club should do. Now, that's on paper, in a vacuum. But there are emotions involved in this. There are human beings involved in this. And it plays a role. It plays a major part in all of this because, Stevie just mentioned it and you just alluded to it, if his feelings are hurt, Robert Lewandowski, who at one point, if not for Karim Benzema, would be the best out-and-out striker in the world, and you're having to go around to get somebody else, and you're not paying attention to me, I'm your star. I'm scoring goals for you right now. Right now I'm scoring goals for you. You don't know what this guy is going to do for you. Right now I'm your guy, and yet you're unable to love me. That emotional, I think, adjustment and that emotional component that comes into a conversation like this is what I think pulls this apart. Because it's become personal. And once it becomes personal, there's no coming back around.
Let's go to the most humble member of this panel. Frank, how do you see it?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much to start with me like that. Well, you know, if I follow Alejandro's path, and if emotionally it can be tricky, you have to realize that if you keep Lewandowski against his will, you will have also an emotional problem. So he won't give maybe what you are expecting him to give for his last year. And there is another thing. On the other hand, Lewandowski is playing a dangerous game. Because as Juice mentioned, Barcelona hasn't got the money to make him sign for them. So where are the other options? Juice talked about Paris Saint-Germain. Well, they still have Neymar, Messi and Mbappe, where Chelsea is not really the politic of the club to bring older player or players over 30. So it's going to be tricky to know what's going to happen. But I always thought that at the end of the day, if a player doesn't want to stay, you can't keep him. So at a certain point, Bayern Munich will have to give up.
What about, Jules, if you had a player, say, I don't know, at Liverpool, mm, who maybe wanted to move away, and you've got a player at Bayern Munich who wants to move away. Mm. Lewandowski to Anfield, Mane then to Bayern.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, that looks pretty cool. I'm not sure Jurgen Klopp sees it that way. And I think if Mane goes, the replacement will certainly be a younger player than a 34-year-old. But why not, I guess. The fascinating thing about Mane to Bayern is that Nagelsmann has played for many years at Leipzig without really a proper number one. I mean, he had Yusuf Poulsen, but he also tried a lot of different things as a number nine. So I don't think he would mind having Sadio Mane, for example, coming in and replacing Lewandowski and playing a slightly different way with Mane as your centre forward. I also think that Mane could come to replace Serge Gnabry, who, by the way, share the same agent. And Gnabry has only 1 year left on his contract and could, I think, also leave this summer, like Lewandowski. So it's interesting. It seems quite clear, though, now, from certainly everything that we're hearing here in England, that Mane really wants to leave Liverpool. And I don't think Liverpool will come in his way either. I think if there's a good offer on the table, and again, the valuation of a player with 1 year left on his contract is always difficult because, of course, the selling club wants as much money as possible, and the buyer is thinking, hang on a minute, in 6 months' time, we can sign him for free for the following season. So we're not going to pay crazy amount, although Chelsea, you know, paid 100 million for Eden Hazard with 1 year left on his contract. So it is possible. Yeah. But I'm not sure this is the vibe here between Bayern and Liverpool. So it'd be interesting to see. But on paper, it would be quite cool to have that swap.
Real Madrid paid the 100 million and they had to cough up another 50 million because he won the Champions League. Anyway, that's a sidebar. Stevie?
I knew it was coming. In a heartbeat, before you even ask me.
34-year-old?
Aye.
It's kind of against what
I find it really strange, right, that everybody's talking about he's going to be 34.
Well, it's because it's a fact.
How about he's just scored 50 goals last season?
Right. Does he fit into Klopp's style of play?
I don't see how he doesn't fit into Klopp's style of play.
Right.
Because, if I remember, if we're talking about the same guy, this is a guy that doesn't really have any flaws. He can hold the ball up. He can play with people. He can certainly score goals. And he'll get you a goal from nothing. So why would he not work out in Klopp's team? You're basically getting Bobby Firmino to interchange with the two wide guys, whether Manny goes or not. It'll be Diaz and Salah. Can somebody try and explain why he wouldn't be able to play with those two guys? Mm. And then you're also going to take some of the goal scoring responsibility away from Salah.
Right.
Listen, Salah scored one goal in his last 10 Liverpool games. Sorry, 9. At the most important time of the season. And Liverpool couldn't cope with it. Nobody else basically stood up. Can you imagine if you've got Lewandowski there to take a little bit of the pressure off Salah? I mean, I understand he's 34, but this is not a normal 34-year-old. This is a guy who scores goals for fun, can play in any system, let's be honest. So, yeah, if I was Liverpool, a couple of years, why not?
Frank, why are you shaking your head?
Because I'm thinking about the guy who just won the Champions League final at 35 and saved your favourite club's butt, you know, all season long. So it shouldn't be an issue to be 34, 35 for Lewandowski like it's been for Karim Benzema.
How do we turn this into an anti-Real Madrid conversation, Frank?
I don't know.
You'll have time for that.
No. I'm just saying that it's not a problem for Karim Benzema to be 34 because he showed to the world that he's a fantastic player at this age. But it should be an issue for Lewandowski, who scored 47 or 46 goals a season. As I completely agree with Stevie, I think he doesn't age like a normal person. And top of it, we should put in front the fact that he scored 36 goals a season. So he could sign to any club.
Jules, just going back to the Mane conversation, why will Liverpool not fight harder to keep him? And what is the reasoning behind him wanting to leave? Is it money?
I think, again, this is fascinating because we've known now for a long time that Firmino, Salah and Mane, all of them have 1 year left on a contract and all of them, let's say, are 30. They're not exactly that, but let's say 30. And we knew from the beginning that it was very unlikely that all of them would get the extension that they would have liked or they would wanted, in the sense that, you know, if Salah asks for 400,000 a week and Firmino for 350 or 300, let's say, and Mane for 350, so you've got 300, 350, 4,000, this is impossible because of their age, because of the length of the contract they will want at their age, and because in terms of wage bill and wage bill structure, even within your dressing room, you just can't do that. So we knew that at some point Liverpool would prioritize one of them or two of them. It clearly has been Salah because the others are still waiting to hear from the club about an extension. And if you said your money, and I can really understand, you feel a bit left out saying, hang on a minute, I've also had a really good season. You know, I've been part of this club for 6 years now. I've given six really good years since I moved from Southampton for 37 million, which was a bargain now when you look at the 6 years that Sergio Mane has spent at that club. And yet, nothing. Not even the beginning of a discussion, of a negotiation, of a word about maybe a new deal and how much, and this and that, nothing. It's been all Mo Salah. And maybe they're just waiting to sort out Salah and then think about Firmino and Mane. But I think Mane is thinking, hang on a minute, you know, this is not how maybe I should be treated. And I think that's why he's thinking, maybe it's time to go then. Because he also knows, I think, that if Salah signed the deal that he wants, which we all expect it to happen at some point, then he won't get the one that he wants. So maybe it's better to go and look for it somewhere else.
Oh, it's money. Absolutely, it's about money. From a professional point of view, why would you leave Liverpool? You know, they are almost the best team in the land. So you're not moving for professional reasons. It's definitely about money. But if it is, then, you know, just tell us that. Don't give us some cock and bull story about it's about looking for another challenge nonsense. Just tell us. Just say, look, I want a new contract.
Yeah, but Stevie, the one I want,
they're not going to give me it, and that's fine. I've won everything I can, and so I'll move on.
But we were just having a conversation about Lewandowski and how he didn't feel that Bayern were invested in him. It seems that Mane's in a very similar situation with Liverpool.
Well, the difference in the situation is that Salah's there, and every single person, you know, every team, every top team knows where the hierarchy is. That's the difference between these two situations. There's a hierarchy in every dressing room and in every team. And everybody knows that Salah is kind of untouchable right now, considering what he's done for the club. And because he's actually there right now, then that's why I don't think there's as much friction with Mane. Mane hasn't sounded like and hasn't come across as a guy who feels humiliated the way Lewandowski is. Mm-hmm. When he's in the position of... He's in that very position in Bayern Munich where he is the man.
Right.
But yet, all the talk is about some other guy coming in to take his place. Now, that's a great reason to be humiliated. Manny's not being humiliated at all, in my opinion.
We've got to be quick. We're running out of time. Frank, quickly.
Yeah, I just have a question for Stevie. I just want to ask him if he thinks it's about money, why Mane wants to go to Bayern Munich? We all know that there is kind of a salary cap where we all know that they're not going to pay like other clubs will do.
Frank, why would he go to Bayern if he's not getting more money? Bayern right now, I've got so many question marks about... Never mind the money. Bayern Munich, I've got so many question marks about the team, for example, right? If you add on the fact that he's going to go to a team that need rebuild and he's not going to get any more money, he's off his head. So he's not going to Bayern then.
Quickly, Ali.
If it is about money, and I'm just going to go with you on this, Stevie, if it is about money, I don't blame him. Independent contractors in the end, and he has done and achieved whatever he could achieve with Liverpool. And at this point, hey, look, if there is a better opportunity that gives me a better chance and earning potential, go with it and say thank you to Liverpool, but move on to whatever that next challenge is.
This, of course, story will continue. We'll continue to cover it and to keep up to date with all the latest transfer news. Be sure to check out Transfer Talk over on the website. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Meanwhile, we're hearing more, aren't we, about what happened before the kick-off of the Champions League final, which, of course, was delayed for half an hour because of problems outside the stadium. This is what the French sports minister had to say about it. The tickets are usually electronic, but were paper tickets at Liverpool's request. The 22,000 English tickets were all paper, which contributed to the massive and industrial fraud. The French doctrine of maintaining order prevented there being deaths and injuries. It's patently only in football with certain English clubs that these events happen. There was also the Liverpool manager who called on supporters to come to France even without tickets. We found ourselves with tens of thousands of British supporters, of which a section respected the rules perfectly and a minority but extremely lively section which pushed the authorities. There is so much to break down for this, Jules. Where do you want to start?
Well, I find those comments more and more embarrassing. This is my issue here. I mean, Saturday was an embarrassment. It was a disgrace. Everything that happened outside that stadium between 7 o'clock and kickoff, and then after kickoff as well, for the people who could not stay in, and for the one who left the stadium, by the way, was just an absolute disgrace. It was a shame. I'm ashamed of being French and Parisian after seeing all of that. But then, since Saturday or let's say Sunday morning, to have our interior minister and the sports minister repeating that, oh, it's the fault of the Liverpool fans because they tried to force their way in, they didn't have tickets, so they bought fake tickets, and nothing on police violence, because the police were clearly overdoing it and using pepper gas and tear gas against a crowd that was patient and calm, with nothing to do with aggressive or trying to force their way in, or like I think it was the case, being hooligans, because I think that those Liverpool fans were targeted by the French police, who thought, hang on a minute, oh, those English fans, they're all hooligans, so let's show them that we are the boss here, not them, that they can't do what they want here, and then we're going to show them. And the way they did that is by being violent and very aggressive, which is what, by the way, French police do all the time. So to me and Franck, this is not new. We knew that. I kind of wish that we'd warned you before, but I really didn't think this would happen on Saturday with the Liverpool fans. And it's a real shame, again, and I find it more and more embarrassing that the government and the French authorities are trying to justify everything that went wrong, and so wrong, from security, the police and the organization, and blame it on the Liverpool fans, who, I can tell you, because I was there, did nothing wrong from start to finish.
UEFA have commissioned this independent inquiry. I don't really know why, Jules.
No, me neither. And I tell you what's even more baffling. The French FA was... So UEFA, for those finals, basically then hands on all the security matters and organisation to the local federation. So if you play in Italy, the Italian FA will organise it all. In France, is the French FA. Have we heard from the French FA so far? No. Have we heard from the head of the French FA, Noël Le Graët? No. They're keeping silence because they know how much they messed up. And then they just let the politician being politicians and saying like, oh yeah, we know what happened. I heard 30,000 fake tickets. I mean, come on. What world are we living in now? Yes, there's other issues in there. The local youth who came down and clearly were there to attack fans from wherever they were, Liverpool fans, Real Madrid fans, neutrals. Clearly, we've seen some very distressing scenes of them mugging people and that kind of thing, which was unacceptable. And the government saying, oh, but there was 7,000 policemen and security around the stadium. There wasn't. I can tell you there wasn't, because had there been 7,000, all those scenes would not have happened in terms of mugging and stealing and being attacked. But certainly the ones who were there, again, clearly attacked those Liverpool fans and a portion of the Real Madrid fans as well, who really didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, we're hearing reports as well, problems with the Real Madrid fans and them getting into the stadium, what happened outside as well. A lot more all this on the Gavin Jules podcast, by the way. Be sure to check that out. Meanwhile, of course, scenes of jubilation in the Spanish capital once again as Real Madrid celebrated their 14th Champions League title. A familiar feeling, of course, for a number of players within that squad. Some interesting stuff in case you miss it. This is what Carlo Ancelotti and first Jurgen Klopp had to say after the game.
It was... So after the game, when I saw the stats, it was 50-50 possession. So we had a lot more... shots, a lot more shots on target, but the most decisive stat is absolutely on Madrid's side. Just to make sure that nobody thinks I wouldn't congratulate Real Madrid, I do that now, but I congratulate everybody present involved outside personally. So they scored a goal we didn't. That's the easiest explanation in the world of football, and harsh to get anyway, but we respect that, of course. When the goalkeeper is man of the match, then something is going wrong for the other team. So we had, I think, three really big chances where Courtois made incredible saves.
The moment that we suffered in the first half, we were under control. I think tactically we played really well. It's true that Liverpool put a lot of pressure on us, shoot a lot of times, but we managed well the game.
apart from the goal, they didn't have a shot on target. That's a good sign for my team. We had 9 shots on target. That's really a good number. The problem is they scored with 1 shot and we didn't score with 9. That's the difference between losing and winning.
Stevie, you've had, what, 48 hours to sleep on it?
Woo!
Goalkeeper being a man of the match, that's a problem?
Nothing's changed.
Why? Why is that a problem? Nothing. When one of the players... If, say Benzema scored a hat-trick, worldie, absolutely did brilliantly...
Why are you coming at me here?
I'm coming at you because
all I'm saying is I've not changed my mind on anything that I said after the game.
So my point is Klopp coming out and saying the goalkeeper being a man of the match is a problem. Do you agree with that, Stan?
Well, he said it's a problem for the opposition, if you heard them. Are we not listening?
No, I wasn't.
That's what he said.
But
well, he couldn't have been. He said that's a problem for the opposition.
Why is it a problem?
Something was wrong.
Well, because you're not going to win the game if the goalkeeper saves everything. You're not going to win the game. And as you so put it the other day,
yes,
Liverpool never scored a goal.
Right.
Well, if you can't score a goal, you're not going to win the game. But so I've not changed my opinion on anything I said on after the game. The fact is that as far as the way they played, Liverpool were the best team.
Right.
But they didn't score and lost the game. It doesn't mean anything other than that. You know, Real Madrid rode the luck. You know, Ancelotti. I do have to have a think about what Ancelotti said there. They managed the game well. I mean, I guess he's been very, very optimistic, because if that's how he wanted to play the game, by having one shot at goal and his goalkeeper making 3 incredible saves, then I'm not going along with that. But nothing I said have changed. Listen. If it was a boxing match, Liverpool would have won on points, but it's not. You got to score goals, and that's it. Real Madrid have won it. Can't change it, but they weren't the better team. They were way off being the better team, but they got it done.
The one thing that I think we must clarify and make sure that people are understanding is the fact that Real Madrid... This wasn't like Atletico Madrid getting behind the ball and just defending the whole game. It wasn't Mourinho's Inter just defending. They tried to play. They just couldn't. At times, they were trying to get out, but they just couldn't get out. They tried to commit numbers 4, but they couldn't get numbers 4 because they did not have enough quality possession in the attacking half. Now, that all goes into the same rhetoric that Stevie said on Saturday and is saying today, and that is Liverpool dominated. Liverpool created chances. Liverpool should have won the game, but Liverpool didn't score. And we have been on the wrong side of this many times in our careers, all of us at whatever level we've played, where you feel like you were the better team and you go into the locker room, you think, how did we lose that game? And in the end, you lost it, and you lost it in the biggest moment possible, and that's what makes it the more frustrating for everybody who's looking at this from the perspective of Liverpool.
Go on, Frank.
Well, I will absolutely go with the guys where I think Liverpool was the best team, but we all know Real Madrid. I think nobody was surprised with the performance of Real Madrid. We saw that all Champions League campaign long. And we all wondered, you know, and even themselves, they wonder how they went through that. But that's a fact, that they know how to handle the pressure. They know how to be courageous and have a spirit. But their football is not there to convince people who think that you have to have the ball, you have to have the possession of the ball in order to win the game. Having said that, I really think that Liverpool didn't play their game in a way that I didn't recognize the Liverpool who normally gives a big pressure to the opponent. I didn't see that. The first 10, 15 minutes, I wondered, you know, what Liverpool is doing right now? Why they don't give the pressure? It's not the Liverpool I recognize. I talked half-time to my friend Vicente Lizarazu. He was at the stadium commentating. He said, what's wrong with Liverpool today? And I say, oh, okay, I'm not the only one thinking of that. I think Liverpool didn't play the final like they normally played the way they played the all season long. So it's maybe why they couldn't score, why they lost the game. But I think there is no surprise from Real Madrid.
Jules, this year, your propaganda campaign to get Karim Benzema the Ballon d'Or is going to be a lot easier than last year, isn't it?
Karim the dream. Yeah, I mean, even Leo Messi tonight on Argentinian television saying like he deserves it. I mean, the season that he's had is incredible. Even if he didn't have the best of finals in terms of individual performance, there's that goal that we can debate over Fabinho playing the ball or not playing the ball, whatever, it doesn't matter anymore anyway. But yeah, over the season, he certainly feels like there's not more that he can do. And of course, there's a few games now and there will be, I guess, the start of next season, a little bit of it, and the start of next season's Champions League as well, before the vote closes and the trophy is handed out in October. But I'd be very surprised if he doesn't win it, which, again, at his age and the season that he's had, the numbers that he put, the leadership that he showed, and the trophies that he won, which is also important, even if it's not the main criteria anymore, is incredible. So I think he will be a worthy winner.
That's, of course, his fifth Champions League title, matching that of Gareth Bale.
Hey!
Who also picked up his... Now, we discussed this yesterday. This is what he tweeted out, of course, five. Steve, I'm intrigued. Yeah. What do you make of this?
Nothing. Mm. Because anybody that knows anything about football knows that because he's got five next to his Champions League titles, that one doesn't count.
What about him celebrating the fifth to put out that tweet?
I think he's taking the Michael.
Do you think so? You think it's tongue-in-cheek?
Oh, 100%. He's having a laugh.
Right.
That's to everybody who's been giving him stick for the last 18 months. That's what that is, nothing else. But anybody that knows anything about football will not be looking at Gareth Bale and going, he won five titles.
Right.
No.
Frank, what do you think? Would you have tweeted that out?
Well, that was the question, you know, when I played I didn't play the final of the European Championship in 2000, whether I won it or not, because I was on the bench and I didn't play. If you check at the picture of the World Cup, I mean, in front of the picture, if I check at me at myself, you know, for the picture in the European Championship, I'm just at the back. Because I feel that something's missing. I was a football player. I think I can consider myself as a winner if I'm involved in it. And that wasn't the case for Gareth Bale. And the same for Eden Hazard, I would say, as well. So, I don't know. Some people say it counts. For me, it doesn't, because it doesn't mean anything, because I'm a competitor, because I want to be on the field.
The sad story about Gareth Bale is the perception that now we have of the player, and the person for that matter, is that he doesn't care, that he checked out a long time ago. And we tend to forget as to how important, at times, he was for Real Madrid in Champions League final against Liverpool. Well, somehow, in the career of Gareth Bale, whenever he stops, and some would argue that he has already stopped, we are going to find contradictions. Because the achievements of the player, I think, match the talent. The attitude of the player did not match the talent. But when you look at numbers, just cold, hard facts, and you see that the guy has won five Champions League titles, you kind of go, whoa. Instead of saying, yeah, Gareth Bale was part of all of that, you kind of go, he's won five of them? He was around for all of them? Yes, he was. And he was a major part on a lot of them as well.
Jules, what's interesting is the fact we've talked about Lewandowski, Karim Benzema, of course, two players very much in the twilight of their career, still with a lot to offer. Gareth Bale's only 32.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and remember what Jonathan Barnett said a few weeks ago about, let's see if Wales qualify for the World Cup. The playoffs are coming up, of course. They're waiting to know who they will face in that final. And then we'll see. So what? We'll see that maybe if they don't qualify for the World Cup, so he doesn't have to get ready for the World Cup in November, December, then what? He packs his stuff and this is over. Maybe does he still want it then? Because if it's only down to the World Cup qualification, then it's maybe because he doesn't really want to, and he wants to go to the World Cup, of course. with Wales, because that would be a very special moment. And then after that, that's it. I think you have to question maybe his desire to continue. And I think that would be fair, because, as we said, for the last couple of years, well, 3 years especially, he's been really in and out, more out than in, by the way, even as Spurs. So, yeah, I think there's a case there to say that maybe it's the end already. Maybe that was the last thing. That trophy, that Champions League, he would get the bonus, by the way, as well. Of course he will. and the medal and the replica, the small replica of the trophy to put on his mantelpiece. But this is about it.
Oh, my goodness. Meanwhile, of course, no replica trophy for the Liverpool players. They did have a parade, though, yesterday, didn't they, to celebrate the double, the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup. These scenes are brilliant, Steve.
Yes, fortunately, I've been in the middle of that a few times. It's
would you have been able to enjoy this as much, given that you just...
No. Mm. No, not right there and then.
Yeah.
But in a few years' time, when you start winding your career down, then you start thinking about these things, then you start realising how special they are. At the time, you're too busy doing it.
Right.
You know, you're on the bus, you're having a laugh and a joke, you're having a beer. But it's not until later on, as I said, when you have time to reflect, really, that you think, wow, not many people get the chance to do that.
That must be really cool.
Oh, it's fun.
Must be very cool.
Fantastic.
You told me a Steve McMahon story, but I don't know if we can repeat on TV. I don't remember what the story was.
No, it was...
The producer's going, don't risk it.
No. Don't take the chance.
It was Steve Staunton, right?
Steve Staunton.
So what happens at the end of the parade, and I'm sure they did that yesterday, right at the end of the parade, there's about a mile and a half at the end of it where the bus goes back to the airport.
Right.
And, of course, you've been doing 2 miles an hour for like 3-4 miles, 5 miles, whatever it is, and then you get through the last bit, and then the driver just goes
right,
and so you're going down past the Mersey, and Steve Staunton had a little too much to drink,
right.
Shall I say.
Oh, yep.
And was sat on the side of the water with his head slumped, kind of his eyes half closed, and of course we all started shouting, Steve, wave to the fans. Stands like that, stands doing this to the water.
He's just an autopilot.
He's just doing this on autopilot to the water. We're all like that. Look at Stan. He's like waving away.
There you are. See, I thought it was clean. The Gavin Jones podcast.
You weren't sure. We took a chance.
Discussion. Oh, look at Jones. Oh. Hey. Wasn't wearing that off. They knocked out PSG, was he?
No, he wasn't. Oh, no, he wasn't.
Check out the podcast.
The champions.
They're the champions. Arsenal.
Over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Nottingham Forest promoted, Huddersfield missing out. This is what Carlos Corberan had to say, the Huddersfield Town manager, about those two penalty shouts. No idea what the point of VAR is. I don't know if they can review actions if the referee doesn't ask. Meanwhile, Tom Lees, the Huddersfield Town defender, I think it's clear for everyone to see. It's hard to come on and not sound salty, but it's hard to take because there's nothing in the game. These fine margins, there's so much money on the game. It's life-changing for us players. I thought we had the cameras there to make sure the game wasn't spoiled by a bad decision. Ah, look who's here.
Mm-hmm.
Little bad decisions. Mark Clattenburg.
Hey.
Frank as well. Mark, let's get straight to it. First penalty. Is it a pen?
Yeah, first of all, I find it absolutely strange that John Moss was appointed to this game in the first place. It's his last ever match. And for me, when I had my last match in the Premier League, they wouldn't let me referee a big game in case it affected me judgment, and I think this affected John Moss, because when you watch his overall performance, when you see this first challenge, for me, it's a penalty kick. However, once he gives the yellow card for simulation, This then causes a problem for the VAR, because now the VAR's got to say, has John Moss made an obvious mistake? And for me, I believe that John Moss should have went to the on-field decision, the camera, to have a look at it again. And what you see is Jack Colbeck puts his leg out, the player, there's a small contact, he goes down, and for me, this is a penalty kick.
No. Frank, penalty for you?
No, not at all. There is no contact.
What?
There is
what?
An exaggeration of
oh,
the striker.
Come on, Frankie.
And we... Oh, come on. If you give a penalty there, you give a penalty every 2 minutes to all strikers, you know. Of course not. There is no penalty. Second one, yes, but first one, no. Never. Never.
Stevie, what do you think?
Did he touch him? Did he touch him?
Yeah, he kicked him.
Are you 100% sure that he touched him?
Yes,
he kicked
him.
When he kicked him, he doesn't move his legs.
When he's going past
look
him.
Look at the defender, he doesn't move his leg. Where he kicked him.
He makes contact with his shin. Watch.
Yep.
Wait, no, in fact, it's not. It's the laces on his boots.
Never. Look. Never. Look. I'm going to be 100% sure.
Well, can you tell me?
No,
and Frank,
I'm not sure.
And Frank, let me tell you something.
I would be sure I would say penalty.
Wait, let me tell you absolutely 100%. When he kicks him, if you notice, his right foot that he kicks him hard enough that it actually connects with his left foot in the air. So unless you're telling me he's thrown his right foot into his own left
leg... To kick himself
as well as dive, that again, is what doubles up on it's a penalty kick because there's contact. And he kicks him hard enough that he actually... kicks himself in the process as well because of the contact.
We can show it again, Frank. Maybe Stevie has said enough to make you change your mind.
You see the angle coming from the other side.
No, it won't change my mind because I don't see it.
Next angle.
What's the next angle? I never saw the clear contact.
What's the next angle?
This angle, Frank. We don't see anything.
Watch his right leg connecting with his left. See it? Look. He kicks him. Right?
He's... What?
But I got it. I got to say, it's a penalty kick. I've got to say that.
Are you 100% sure that he touched his left leg with his right leg? I'm not sure. From that angle,
right
I don't see
left.
It. I'm sorry.
What about the Forest player crossing himself?
I'll tell you what, though. Everybody sees it differently, right? Fair enough. But right. It is absolutely incredible that the right decision isn't... One of the reasons that may have caused us not to get the right decision is what Mark was talking about, that the referees are thinking, well, we don't want to make him look bad. This is not schoolboy football.
Mm.
It's about getting the right result.
Right.
And if it means that you think somebody's made a mistake, then so what?
Yeah. And think about if it is about not making the referee look bad because it's his last game, whatever emotional component you want to bring into this, what about the emotional component for the players? Who just said this is a life-changing moment for them. It changes their professional life in making this jump onto the Premier League. So we're not thinking about the guys on the field, the actual players. We're thinking about the referees' feelings. Well, that's great. That's good to know.
Oh, we should start the show with it. I didn't know that Frank was going to say no penalty. What about the second one, Mark?
Well, I hope Frank thinks this is definitely a penalty because when you watch it again, when I watched it actually live, I thought, it's a coming together of players. I thought, normal contact. Okay, I can accept it. But when you watch it in slow motion, which is what the VAR has, you can clearly see that the Huddersfield player is in front. He controls the ball, puts his foot across, and the Nottingham Forest player comes in from behind. So for me, after we can discuss the first penalty, but at least this has to go to the on-field review, and this has to be given as a penalty.
Frank Leboeuf.
Frank said already.
No penalty. No, I'm kidding. No, of course, 100%.
Hey!
And 100% penalty, of course. You have to be blind to not see that one. That's for sure. You have to be blind.
What's interesting, we discussed this yesterday when we were watching the game together, is that was the official's get-out-of-jail-free card. You know, it was the opportunity for the perfect makeup call because this one was a penalty. Why didn't they even go to the monitor with it?
And I think this is what confuses everybody because it's random. I talked about John Moss before. Because he gives a simulation, he gives a yellow card for the Huddersfield player who dived, and therefore he's made the VAR probably in a very, very difficult situation. I think if John Moss had played on in the first situation, I think the VAR would have recommended a review. This one, I think the VAR, if he understands football, you think, hold on, Huddersfield have had probably a bad call. Therefore, this one's an easier one to give. Okay, if it was the isolated incident in the match, probably he's probably nervous, the VAR, but come on. This is the second incident against Huddersfield, and Nottingham Forest have gained. What Nottingham Forest will probably think in this game is what probably happened against Bournemouth a few games before, where they were hard done to. So probably they think it's a probably, you know, a bit of luck they've gone their way. But Huddersfield, in such a big moment, in a one-off match, probably feel really aggrieved today.
John Moss is going to be the manager of the Premier League referees now. What does that mean, Mark?
I think this is a big concern, because if that's what the level of performance is, then I think we're going to have a very, very difficult season in the Premier League. Yes, he's retired as a referee, and I laugh when certain players have said, and I think Kasper Schmeichel had said, when they give him a shirt, it was like, thank God John Moss is retiring. So that sums up John Moss as a referee. And you know what? He's now going to be the head of refereeing. Let's hope he's better at educating than he is as a referee.
Hey.
Oh, where was your last game then, Mark, if it wasn't in the playoff final?
I had a black and white TV at the time.
What? What? No, where was your last game? Because you said that they kind of hid you away.
No, it was Leicester, West Brom. I was West Brom, Leicester, so, yeah.
But
what happened was, but listen, it's important to understand, when normally they ask you where you want to be for your last match, probably sentimental values. I know Mike Dean went to Chelsea last game. However, the integrity of the competition is the most important. And what they said to me was, look, you're retiring, you're going to Saudi Arabia, therefore, we don't want to affect the integrity of the competition. I was shocked at this appointment. The two semi-finals of the playoffs, one was Michael Oliver, the other one was Stuart Atwell, both FIFA referees. And then you give a guy who's retiring for the biggest match in a playoff final, who has never been FIFA and never refereed many big matches, I find shocking.
Get off the fence. Come on, Mark. Maybe read a book.
Well, he has many choices, many options behind him.
It's there. It's there.
Mark Lambert, as always, thank you very much. Just a reminder, Extra Time is always available over on our YouTube channel, Frank and Jules. And Ali and Steve will be here to answer your questions.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Chelsea, let's talk about them now, shall we? Of course, a season which had so much potential, of course, top of the table for much of the early stages of the season. All fell away, really, didn't it, at the end? In the end, though, they will tell us that they are world champions. They are world champions, Jules, with a new owner. That was confirmed today, yes? What does this mean going forward?
Yeah, that's right. Finally done. It had to be done before May the 31st. So this is good, or just about. So they have the license for next season. We expected it, Todd Boehly and his consortium, to get it, which they did. It's the end of the Roman Abramovich era that lasted 20 years, pretty much, with a lot of success, of course, a lot of managers, and ended with, obviously, a lot of controversy. But now this is over. It's a new chapter. No one knows really what's going to happen now, how much money will be available to Thomas Tuchel, what kind of owner Todd Bewley and his consortium, because he's obviously, again, not on his own, what kind of owners they will be, what will happen to Stamford Bridge, what will happen to the academy, to the training ground, all of that. Obviously, we will have answers very soon, or certainly midterm, to see what's going on. But I think we can say goodbye to the Roman Abramovich era now. We will all have different memories of it, of course, and get ready for a new one.
Meanwhile, Jules, in France, just take us through Saint-Étienne, of course, along with PSG, one of the most successful clubs in the league. They got relegated, and then, of course, these scenes went viral.
Incredible. I mean, it's been a crazy season in France, but I never thought we would see that last night. It was just incredible. The ultras clearly sending flares on their own players, targeting the tunnel of their own stadium, and clearly trying to destroy everything that could come into their hands. So they managed to go through the stadium. They went into the press box and the press lounge, and then the room where the press conferences are. They went into the club shop, which they completely destroyed, the players' cars, all of that. Absolutely chaotic scenes. Again, we knew that something would happen if they got relegated. They lost on penalties to Auxerre, who are relegated, and Saint-Etienne are promoted and Saint-Etienne are relegated. And after that, it was just pure chaos everywhere. David Blitzer was supposed to buy the club. He's clearly now thinking twice about it because the environment is clearly very toxic with the ultras, which again is an absolute shame. I know they love their club. They have a lot of passion for their club. They're one of the best fans in the country, but not that kind of fans, not that kind of support.
No, well said, Jules. Just a reminder, ESPN FC, we are with you 7 days a week, despite the fact, of course, domestic football has finished in Europe. Still plenty for us to talk about what else is going on around the world, plus a bit of transfer speculation as well to boot. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Jules, Frank, Ali and Stevie answering your questions in extra time. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Ali Moreno with us, as is Stevie Nicol. Frank and Jules are back in their homes, of course, after spending some time on our set in Paris. Jules, you were everywhere. Every time I put on the radio or the TV, you were appearing. And also, of course, you took part in the journalists' football match, I
Ooh.
Believe.
Uh-oh.
And I think there was a clip. Was it the English media against... Jules just trying to organise everything here, is it? Where are you, Jules?
There he is. There he is. Yellow shoes. Yellow shoes. Of course.
No, my bad.
Here you go. What vision.
Oh, what an assist.
The right wing's having some issues getting around the field.
Hey.
Probably bandy legs, you know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, to the camera.
Yes.
Stop it.
With their wet hair and everything.
Wow. Why were you not on the French side?
I sent him because the English didn't have the team they thought they would have. They said to me, we're going to get Mika Richards and Jonathan Lescott, maybe Chris Sutton. And then in the end, they had Joe and Alex, and it was not the same level. So we thought to make it a bit more like square, balanced, and I spent the whole game with the English, which was great. It's just that we didn't know each other, well, for some of us, in the morning before the game, whereas the other team, they play regularly in France, they have a league. They had three former players, Mathieu Bodmer, Frédéric Piquion, and Kevin Diaz. So no, they were very good, and we did our best, to be fair. We played some really good stuff.
Jules, you're taking this very seriously.
We some really good stuff.
We're knocking the ball around. We showed a lot of character.
It's like a post-match interview. We did well.
Yeah.
Was Raf Honig sign your coach, Jules?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, he kind of imposed himself, I'm kidding, it was great.
Frank, you obviously weren't involved in that, but we did see footage of the way that Frank Leboeuf travels around Paris.
Here we go, let's see.
You think maybe a Bentley or a Jag?
Uh-huh.
No, there he goes.
Yes.
Look at him.
Ah, yes.
Ah, yeah. My scooter. I thought it was completely destroyed, you know, in Stade de France, but it's still alive, so I'm happy.
Oh, lovely. Right, let's get on with this, shall we, then? Is Michael Owen correct to call Liverpool the best team in Europe? By the way, my grandma taught Stevie's son, Pamela Jones, her name was.
Yeah, never mind Michael Owens. How about Pamela Jones?
Wow. Stevie won't know Michael's teachers.
That's 35 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was it in Heswell?
I don't know if Samuel wasn't...
What's that, Samuel? Samuel's on the line.
Jones.
He's not on the line.
Jones does ring a bell.
Right.
I could be wrong here, so let me know. I'm going to guess it was Michael's teacher when he first went to school when he was five.
Oh, like a primary, like kindergarten teacher.
Aye.
Ah.
I think that rings a bell. I think that is. So Samuel, William, can you please let me know?
Okay. All right.
You're going down memory lane, so does it help you to remember? By getting closer to the camera.
Concentration.
Oh, okay.
Are Liverpool the best team in Europe?
It's a kind of a loaded question. What does that actually mean? I mean, does Liverpool play the best football? Do they play the best football to watch?
What's going on? Liverpool,
it's not a straightforward question.
Are Liverpool the best team in Europe?
I would say Manchester City are the best team in Europe.
Okay. Well, then, wasn't that difficult?
It's a lot of questions.
Well, there's a lot of things to think about.
Right.
Do you want me just to... Are you in a hurry tonight or what? Do you want me to throw an answer out without even thinking about it?
No, I'm glad that you thought about it.
Listen, if somebody takes time to ask a question, you should take time to answer it properly. Instead of yours, wee clever. You've still been a clever little over that.
What?
Weekend.
Stevie, come on. Liverpool lost.
You know what?
Okay.
It was weird though, even tonight when we started the show, you came after me.
I would never come after you.
It's so, don't never. Look at your face. You didn't have that face earlier.
I would never come after you.
Yes, you did.
Never.
Yes, you did.
Why are you gripping the table?
Right.
I'm holding myself and getting over there.
It's all right.
Robbo's not around. Okay, it's all right. Everybody can relax. Everybody calm down.
I really upset Robbo the other day.
Yeah, well, he was
saying everyone's leaving.
Really angry.
Jules, how do you think Mbappe's feeling now, seeing what he turned down?
I don't think he... not that he cares or that he doesn't care. I don't think... Like Florentino Perez said, this is over. For Kylian, it's over in his head as well.
Yeah.
He decided to stay. I'm not even sure... I think he was in Cannes this weekend. I'm not even sure he watched that final, to be honest. I think he was pretty partying.
He said he was going to be Real Madrid's number one fan for the final, Jules.
Yeah, maybe. That doesn't mean he's going to watch it.
If you're the number one fan, that would be
I think he's gone down the list of it.
But I think he meant in the sense that...
he was sat on a beach in Spain with all the scarves and all the gear on and all that.
Why is he on the beach?
Yeah, with a scarf. It's a little hard for that.
Well, he'd be on his scarf and everything.
You know what,
Number one Manchester City fan. Did he watch the last day? No, he was in Rome with his wife. No, he didn't watch it.
He still watched it. He still watched the game, didn't he?
Nah, I'm not sure about that. He said he
wouldn't. Actually would have watched
his wife
it because
forbid him.
He was at Clairefontaine.
There you go.
So he would have actually watched it.
There you go. Perfect. Previously, I asked if Vinicius Jr. would end up with a better career than Neymar. He has now equalised Neymar's Champions League tally at only 21. He works hard. The advice is work hard and don't party with Jules.
That's a posture.
Not yet.
What's the verdict, do you think, Frank? Vinicius Jr. will have a better career than Neymar?
No, not yet. Not yet. We have to wait a little bit. He could have a better one, for sure. But, I mean, I remember Neymar when he started, when he was very young. That was, he was an alien. I mean, I never seen a kind of player like that. So, hard to compare with Vinicius, with all due respect with Neymar.
Does he have the potential to be, though, Jules?
Yeah, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that talent-wise is incredible, clearly. The way he's matured in the last 12 to 18 months is really fascinating. But let's not forget that Neymar has been carrying all that pressure of being Brazil's number 10 and the hope for the next, you know, winning the next World Cup and all of that for 15 years almost, well, certainly 13 years since he started as a very, very young kid at Santos. So Vinicius is 21, never had that kind of pressure at all in the first few years of his career. So let's see when Neymar retires, for example, and Vinny has to take over, how he copes with all that pressure, how he deals with it. It'd be very interesting to see what kind of World Cup he has in Qatar with Neymar and with Brazil, how they play with each other, and how much he can shine in that team and see next season with Real Madrid as well. But he certainly started well, that's for sure. There's still a long way to go to get to 100 caps, to get to the record that Neymar is going to set. He's going to overtake Pelé very soon now. Let's see if Vini can score 80 odd goals for Brazil in his career, for example.
Couple of transfer gossip bits for you, Jules. Let's do these quickly. Jules, any fact the news Liverpool seriously looking to Darwin Nunez? How does he fit into the Liverpool formation?
Yeah, I believe this is a player that they kept an eye on, like all the big clubs in Europe. Again, it would depend a lot on what happens to Mane and Firmino and Salah, etc., etc. He certainly fit the bill in terms of age, in terms of the price, kind of, because 60 million is still a lot of money, but it's not the kind of money you would pay for a superstar striker, for example. And thirdly, all the ability that he has, especially without the ball, in terms of running and pressing and counter-pressing, fits the bill really well. So there's, yeah, it's a no-brainer why he could be on their list, but there's still a long way to go between being on the list and then being recruited.
Frank, there's a YouTube video of Desai, Thuram and Jacquet all taking turns in training camp telling you how to handle Ronaldo before the World Cup final. What did they say to you exactly? Who did you end up listening to? And did they tell you anything you didn't know already?
Yeah, they talked to me. It's a famous footage before the... It was, in fact, the morning of the World Cup final. And they explained to me that... that Ronaldo was dancing, you know, with the ball, and at the end of the day, you don't see the ball, you see the legs, and it's like the ball suddenly disappears. But nothing new for me, even if it was only funny. And Aimé Jacquet said, well, at the end of that footage, he said off to me, he said, you know what, don't listen to them, just look at the ball, never look at the legs, I will be okay. It's what I did, because it happened once during the game where he did that in front of me, and I only checked on the ball, and I tackled, and I was doubly fortunate because I got the ball, and the ball hit his shin pads, and I got the throw in. So I was very lucky on that, because I knew that that guy was so fast taking you on that I was scared when he came in front of me.
Sorry you had to answer that question, Frank. Yeah, we appreciate your honesty.
It helped he only played on one leg that day as well, right?
Well, he turned up, didn't he? Bottled it. Pressure got to him. That is it. ESPN FC will be back on your screen tomorrow. Thank you very much to French contingent, as always, for joining us. Are you here tomorrow, Stevie? Better mood?
No.
Good.
I'm happy with that.
Taking some time to reflect.
Nice. Who'd have thought? Craig's the happy
not
one.
Not at all.
Oh, happy birthday, Nora.
I should be six tomorrow.
Well, hey. Try to smile on.
Yeah, got another cake.
Cheapcake, Stevie?
Yeah, another cheap cake.
You seem to be very angry about it, Steve.
Mama, she loves buying people cake.
She's your granddad.
but this is a three-figure cake.
Oh, yes. Yes.